Holy smokes! I can't believe I'm part of the coolest club in the world!
Bub?
Yeah?
So, what club is that?
CITR! As a club member, I get ginormous discounts on the Friends of CITR card, which in itself, Timmy, I must say, is pretty amazing. I get dirt cheap prices at stores and shots I'm at all the time anyway! To be honest, it feels like being in a club within a club!
Wow. Hey, I want a Friends of CITR card.
You don't even have to be a member to get one, although clearly you'd be that much cooler if you were a member. Go purchase your Friends of CITR card down at CITR, or at special events they sponsor, such as concerts, membership drives, and shindig.
I got it. It feels like having special powers. I go into stores and bam! Discounts.
Tis what I said.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
That was juicy. Oh my God, Julie, I had no idea you were in blood sports.
Kill, kill, kill. Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, yes.
I have to take all this blood off my face and body. Ugh.
Oh, I might have to lick it off, especially since you've gotten the blood type, the mint flavored blood.
We're going to talk more about all that later. That's one of the tricky tricks we have up our sleeves tonight, which is all about the freaky, the bizarre, the sexual. Yes. Caroline came up with a good title for our tonight's show. What is it? Screams, dreams, and cream in your pants? What is it again?
Screams, dreams, and sex fiends.
Sex fiends.
Which
we're all,
we know
sex fiends.
All you listeners are our sex fiends out there. We know that you're all lurking around a corner, ready to lurk and grab
lurk.
And indulge and pull those sexual fantasies out of your partner and make them reality.
Halloween, the sexiest holiday of the year, by far my favorite holiday of the year. And the pagans might agree. But, you know, Beltane is right up there with Samhain. Samhain?
You sound like you're speaking Chinese. I love it. You're going back to my roots. I love it.
We're going to have to figure out how to do this, this pronunciation of Samhain a little bit better later on the show. Because we're going to be talking about when the veils become thinner between the worlds after the second half. But the first half of tonight's show is all about fantasies, fetishes, of course. Would you expect anything else for a Halloween show? Zombie sex? I mean, what else is there to talk about on the Halloween show, right?
Unusual sex practices could be something we could talk about.
There's many of them. And I think people feel a little bit more free to do them at this time of year than they do at any other time of year.
I like the fact you said do them. You didn't use do it like the Nike slogan. You used do them. Do them.
Do you.
Oh, yes, please.
I do.
And thank you.
So I think the coolest thing about Halloween is that it's that time of year when fetishes and fantasies really come alive. People feel that they can be the sluts, the tarts, the zombies, the vampires, all those things that normally we don't let ourselves be. This is the time of year to do it. Out in public, in front of everyone else.
And we're going to be taking calls, so feel free to call and contribute to the conversation that we're going to be having.
You made me laugh a little bit too much tonight already, honey.
Did I make you laugh? Yes, I did. I suppose I did. Julia was pretending that there was this creaky, freaky person who was coming around and said the door was left open. So we went and snuck around every corner of the studio, which was really freaky, actually. It kind of freaked me out quite a bit. And was afraid that there might be a serial killer lurking around about to, like, tie us up and possibly take our clothes off with a knife and get us to indulge in a lot of really, really fun things. So if you have any really crazy, weird fantasies, please indulge in them. But if they include Julia and I, please don't come to the station and scare us that way. But if you'd like to call in, you can call in and contribute to the conversation at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, because we've got a lot of things we're going to be talking about. There may be some weird things you may have noticed lately, like have you noticed a sexy vampire leaning Wonder Woman up against a tree in an alley, just gently playing with that lasso?
Or I witnessed a walking eyeball fondling this innocent little schoolgirl in the shadow of a streetlight just this past weekend. Does that sound crazy to you?
No, it could have been
a walking eyeball. Anyway, these are just some of the few things that I witnessed at the Parade of the Lost Souls in Vancouver last Saturday. That was really, really cool. I think it was the 16th year or something. I've been going forever.
There's some really interesting sights, definitely. I've got some photos.
It was a lot of lecherous boozing and drug taking people in amongst all the fabulous family of stuff.
I was just
going to
say, because there's some great family things too.
Yes, and the fire spinning and all this cool shit. Beltane and Samhain this time of year, some people see it as Samhain, but it's actually Samhain, are both about fire. So we're going to talk more about that as well. But, you know, it's just fire is sexy. Fire is a sexy, sexy thing. So
as long as your hair doesn't catch on fire, unless you're into that. I'm not.
Right. Well, why do you think Halloween is so sexy, Caroline?
Well, I can think of dozens of reasons, but I think we've got our top six.
The juice box, sex.
Did you say sex?
Six.
Did you say sex on the radio? Oh, my goodness.
Okay, the six top things. Well, I think getting dressed up is sexy.
Definitely. I think it's the one day of the year that we can dress up as complete sluts and nobody can say anything about it, not even other girls.
That's right.
And I stole that from Mean Girls, which is a great movie, by the way.
Although some of the girls I saw lurching around all drunk in their crazy outfits, like honestly, their hoochies were showing. I mean, I guess this is something fun to do. They're wearing really short skirts and not used to navigating a really short skirt. So their ass cheeks and their coochies are showing and, you know, they're really drunk, staggering around. It was quite amusing. This is the kind of thing that can happen at parties. But you know what? We're allowed on Halloween.
So. Halloween, you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a man, you could wear something like a toga or a kilt where there's easy access.
I think that the hooligan aspect of Halloween is part of why it's so sexy, is that people get dressed up, but they wear, like you're saying, you know, like these crazy crotch. Like I saw this guy with a big, I guess it was like a handmade cock covering thing that made it look like a big animal coming off of his cock. And sort of, it was like a cock cover. Some sort. And that's all he was wearing was his cock cover thing with this huge animalistic thing coming off of his cock and walking around with just shoes on and that and a cape of some sort. And I thought, only on Halloween can
only on, well, actually.
Or at Burning Man, I suppose. But
or who knows what he does in his bedroom. And I feel sorry for whoever's going to take that cock down their throat.
Well, I think the furry bits would be quite choking. I think you might take it off.
Unless they're into furries, which on that note, if you are into furries, it's a good time to rub yourself up against somebody who might be covered in fur.
Right. Well, what else is sexy about
Halloween?
Well,
I think eating candy could be really good, whether or not you're dressed up as a little runaway and heading over to somebody's house and looking all innocent and sucking on pieces of candy. Because, let's face it, if you're sucking on candy, you're drawing attention to your mouth, which makes people think about sex, which makes people think of other things. So perhaps that's where the pedophiles come from.
Well, I think it's definitely something that you're an expert at, Caroline, because no better example than you about eating. You have some kind of sensuous way to eat I've never experienced in my life. And I actually look up to you so hugely in the way that you sort of lick things and like consume things and the way you hold your fork and like just, yeah, like if you're going to suck on candy, man, you have a way of masticating that I'm and licking and yes. So eating candy is sexy. Caroline knows how to do it. She should give a workshop.
Well, I do give workshops on blowjobs sometimes, but more importantly, in terms of the second
What kind
aspect,
of feedback do you get from the men that get the blowjobs? That's the really important part, isn't it?
I never reveal my sources.
Okay. So, I don't know.
With the candy factor, it can be really fun. And you can bring that to the bedroom if you wanted to. Just make sure that if you're having something like, say, a cinnamon heart, you're not putting in certain parts of the anatomy. That may burn a little too much.
Or yeast infections will come if you try to, like, dip yourself in chocolate syrup and shove it up your vagina.
Or put candy apple and let it melt inside.
Yes, we want to just let you know that you'll get some yeast infections from that, ladies. And
that'd bring fisting to a completely different level.
What, a lollipop?
I know, a candied apple.
Oh,
I think I've shocked you, Miss Julia. Have I shocked you?
Organic apples are smaller. Oh, my God. That would be so crazy. I'm sorry. Please do not put candy in your vagina, okay? I'm just telling you that as a sex educator. Not a good idea. You can rub it around, though, but just know that you may still get a yeast infection even from the outside activity. Anyway, some people do like to put food up in their bits, and really we'll talk about that later because Halloween sex toys is later on in the show.
Wearing makeup can be really sexy, especially if you're changing sexes.
If you're a man, I think you know, man, this is your time to put makeup on, to wear makeup, to wear a girdle, to wear a low-slung top with, you know, I don't know what men would dress up as. Maybe if you had the fake boobs, it would be kind of fun to have those as well.
Well, they could put bean bags in the bra. It kind of makes it interesting. It almost feels realistic.
Water bags are probably better.
Water bags would be interesting, those water bras.
They might break.
They might pop.
But yes, makeup is sexy. And of course, women, if you do it right with the proper lighting, it can be kind of cool. I have seen some really fascinating, beautiful, sexy makeup jobs in my life. I think people really get off on pretending to be themselves, be something that they're not, be themselves.
I think they get off on being
themselves. I get off on being myself,
too.
But
sometimes it's a great way to, like, say you're like a really busy, crazy businesswoman in real life, and you might want to just play, I'm the damsel in distress tonight.
Yes.
And let your partner just totally take care of you, tie you up against the railway tracks or something.
Or pretend you're an animal. I think that's pretty popular. You see a lot of animal things. Why do people like to pretend they're animals? Is there bestiality going on underneath it? Or is it just that we want to be back to our animal nature and like get dirty and stinky and just like grab and tear and bite? Like, what is it about animals? It just seems to be...
I think what it might be,
though. A sexy thing.
It's a very sexy thing. It goes back to the Cro-Magnon days, where it's like, yo, I'm going to grab you, pull you, kunk you on the head and drag you back to my cave and wait wild, passionate fucking with you.
Yes, well, passionate fucking is right. Yes, exactly. We're not talking sex. We're not talking making love here, people. It's Halloween. Come on. If there's any time for fucking, it's on Halloween. Okay, now, being scared is sexy. I tried to scare you in the hallway. You didn't think that was very sexy.
I did not find it very sexy, although I did smack you afterwards, which you might have liked.
I liked hugging you to comfort you. And I think anyone else that might grab onto you, because they're terrified, I think that's pretty sexy. There's this Halloween ghost train going on at the Stanley Park, and I think that'd be a really fun place to take a girl or a guy on a date and have your way with them, with the train conductor and the children around.
That could be really interesting. Or you could go to the Real Theater and go and watch Halloween, which is going to be on the Midnight Show, the actual John Carpenter one with The Thing. And that should be interesting, double
thing?
Bill. It's called The Thing.
The Thing. Okay, with the moving hand?
I don't know. I've never seen the movie. Okay. I'll have to ask my brother, who's into all the horror stuff.
You could maybe jerk your lover off while they're watching a horror movie.
I think you could sit on their lap if you went as a sexy little schoolgirl.
I think people will notice if you're sitting on someone's lap.
Not if you're sitting in the back row or in the balcony.
Okay, well. There's a reason why balcony floors are sticky.
Oh, totally.
Yes, be careful.
Either that or they drop the lollipop out of their snatch because they didn't listen to our show.
Okay, anyway. I think around being scared, we were talking over dinner, Caroline, about the gap.
Yes, the yin and the yang.
Yes.
A lot of times in this modern day, which we've had Tanya Diamond on the show talking about this, who's at thetantrateacher.com. She's really interesting in terms of that. Yes, I know. I gave her that little plug on her website.
Yeah, so she should be grateful. No.
But in regards to that a lot of times men and women in this day, we're trying to be equal and so equal that sometimes we forget there's a lot of power in taking different types of status and having some fun with that.
Mm, good point.
And with the whole scared thing where it's like, oh, honey, I'm so scared. And you scream and you rap, and the man has to take care of you or the woman, whichever way. Mm-hmm. But where one person is a little bit more the protector, mm-hmm. it makes them feel like the knight in shining armor. So regardless of what type of relationship you have, it's nice sometimes when you let one person be a little bit more dominant.
Yes, and that can lead to good sex.
Exactly, especially if you surrender to that.
Surrendering is a very important aspect to good sex as well. I think I was thinking like the rape fantasy around being scared. Obviously, there's a lot of fear there in that sexuality, but there's also a huge heightening that happens with like the gap of like intimacy. So if you don't know somebody and they're kind of like seducing you and then they kind of, corner you or whatever, like take advantage and seduce you into some kind of sexual behavior. I mean, this is a very common thing that happens every day. It's not just a fantasy. It's and there's this the fear factor, I think, in sexuality can really heighten arousal. So
definitely.
At Halloween, we're more scared.
Definitely.
So we're more horny.
It kicks in the adrenaline and makes us feel more alive.
Mm-hmm, that too.
I actually say that sometimes people have sex more after somebody dies. And since Halloween is supposed to be Day of the Dead,
yes,
it really brings us back to our ancestors in so many different ways. When we're having sex, it makes it a nice, rich, sacred act.
We're going to have to talk about the sacred act after the break for sure. I think the last of the six juice box sex reasons, I mean, six reasons that Halloween is so sexy, is that even that cheap satin that's used in so many of those Halloween costumes is sexy. It's soft, it's silky. It's just not your usual clothes, which I think is kind of part of the fun with sex. So trying to be dressing up in sexiness. You don't have to do it Halloween, but wearing something very out of the ordinary for
you. That you wouldn't normally wear.
Yeah, not street clothes, that kind of thing.
Which is why I suppose lingerie with animal ears is quite popular at this time of year. Or going to places like Bazaar and Novelty. They've got a great selection of really sexy things.
I think it's called the Party Bazaar now, honey.
Is it called the Party mm-hmm. Bazaar?
Has been for years, but I think that's because there was issues.
Interesting.
Just so you know.
Or any sex shop. There's lots of different types of things you go, whether you want to be the good witch with no shoes on. You never know. In case you have somebody with a foot fetish, she's really
okay,
into
the
that.
Good witch. Well, speaking of kids and foot, I was just trying to wrap my head around it. I was having trouble. It is a bit late for me. For some, Halloween is sexy, I think, because of the nostalgic thrill of childhood Halloweens, which is like getting to stay up late and wandering around the streets after dark and indulgences of many kinds and makeup and turning everything on its head. It's like kind of the ultimate freedom for one night. And I think that brat in all of us continues to sort of entice and excite. And so as adults, we use Halloween as an excuse to explore parts of our sexuality that we might otherwise feel uncomfortable or embarrassed about. And in this way, I think Halloween can be a really great sexual motivator and instigator, where one night of abandon can potentially open up sexual doors that can be walked through the whole year round.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
And I think we've got some sexy Halloween-inspired ideas for some scary, sexy fun on October the 31st, which is this Friday, in case you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We've touched
Yay.
On.
Oh, good job. I can't do the animal noises. This is from about.com. We got some quick stuff from the internet, but we spice it up, don't we, Caroline? We make it our own.
We do. I mean, it may be obvious, obviously sexy dressing up, and we've touched on that already tonight, but it can be a really fun part of exploring. I think it's a really great way to get into role-playing.
Switching genders, perhaps. Very, very good time to do that. Even just if that's all you do is borrow your brother or your uncle's or whatever, your dad's, cousin's, other gendered clothes, and just try it on. It doesn't matter. You don't have to come up with something really fancy. Just cross-dress.
I wouldn't wear my dad's. I think
okay,
that'd be
anyway.
A little too close to the home.
Yes. Well, fine. Go to the used clothing store. But, you know, how could you go through life without ever wielding Wonder Woman's lasso of truth or King Arthur's sword? I mean, don't we all kind of want to just do it?
I like King Arthur's sword. I don't know. Is that what we want to do?
Well, I think, you know, there's plenty of places to find costumes, but your imagination's always going to win over. So, like, forget the store-bought stuff. You don't have to do that. I did a nurse one year. I did, like, a shotgun wedding where I had, like, a shot right through my brain and, like, went and got, like, an old wedding dress and, like, got blood all over it and put a pillow in my tummy and all that stuff. And that was cool. I like that.
No, I wish I got to see that.
I'm a whore. Usually I used to be a whore. For 4 years in a row, I was, like, just jiving up my prostitution. It was so cool. Dressing trampy like that, like you said at the beginning of the hour, that was fun. Guys, I don't know, beasts. Usually there's got to be gore. I'm not into, like, wearing super sexy stuff. There's always got to be gore. You can wear the super sexy outfit, but then paint your skin white and put on some, like, kind of scars or, like, make it look like you've been dead, come back from the dead. Like, come on. It's a Day of the Dead thing, you know?
It is a Day of the Dead thing, but, I mean, I've had interesting times where I tried to go as Lady Godiva one year and ended up being Eve. So Eve as in, like, the original woman.
Yes, yes,
Eve. Besides Lilith. And wore a flesh-colored bodysuit painted on nipples, cut up one of my cat's toys as a full-on 70s bush and duct taped to that area and had
nice.
A thing of apples and offered everybody, would you like an apple, every time they came through the door
nice.
Had a serpent around my neck.
Very cool. I like it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was interesting. My female friends couldn't stop staring at my breasts and actually would apologize. Like, I'm so sorry, Caroline. I can't stop staring. Whereas my guy friends were like, oh, cool. And then they forgot about it after that.
Yes, us women are much more interested in each other's body parts in some ways, I think.
I think it's because we spend so much time looking at it, whether it be through fashion magazines or
mm-hmm.
fashion shows, all that interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Definitely. The men don't feel like they have the permission to stare. Anyway, they're looking out the sides of their eyes, I know that. So I'm really into the gore, and I think it's important for whatever you're doing to be into it, to get into it. I mean, the costume may be the excuse, but you've got to dig deep and turn some kind of, like, flirtations and edginess into, like, a full-fledged sexual freakout. I mean, you got to do it. This is the night to do it.
Definitely. So if you want to dress up as a cute little sassy little schoolgirl, you might want to find a professor or a doctor. Who can check to see what that itch is up your thigh?
Oh, just don't pass it up. Do the sexual role play. This is the time.
This is definitely the play. Other things you can do going full circle, you can play with your food. Food can definitely be sexy, and so Halloween is all about the food you get to eat with your hands, or you can feed
Halloween
somebody
else. Is not all about the food you get to eat with your hands, is it?
I don't know. That's what
spreading
it's
it on your
here.
Body parts too, right?
No, actually feeding somebody else. Well, you smear it all over your body parts and have them lick it off, especially if you've got them all tied up and they can't go anywhere, so they have no choice if you're playing pirate and damsel.
What about the peeled grape oozing eyeball massage?
I don't know about the oozing eyeball factor unless you're into zombie sex, which apparently there was, and one of our listeners actually wrote in earlier about that, about apparently there was somebody looking for zombie sex on Craigslist, which I found highly entertaining.
Well, there's lots of really
brains.
Hot zombies. There's lots of hot zombies out there. I saw some of them lurching about over Parade of Lost Souls.
And they're in around the summer, too, for the zombie walk.
Yeah, it's so fun. I'm going to do it next year. So I think the chocolate syrup can also pretend to be fake blood.
I think it'd be
great.
You
can just get it all over. I mean, get hopped up on sugar, hop into bed. I think the childlike abandonment of Halloween can be a good excuse to bring some messy play back into your sex life. If you needed an excuse before this, now's the time.
And always remember, play safe. And wash your fruits and vegetables first before shoving them up any orifices of your body.
I think using a condom on fruits or vegetables is also a good idea because there's all these crevices and nooks, and you really actually can't get them clean with fruit and vegetable wash, really. And not enough to clean, put up your rectum or up your vagina.
Not even bananas?
No. I think condoms are the best way to go. if you wash a banana and then start using it, it's going to be like brown dissolving inside of you. Ew. Speaking of sex toys and shoving things into your orifices, I say the Halloween homemade sex toys, some people, you know, they prep their costumes forever, for weeks and for months. Others focus their interest on the sex toys, preparing for a sexy Halloween in a different way. So you can create your own Halloween-themed sex toys, which is not for everyone, but I promise you'll never look at a pumpkin the same again.
Oh, that just reminded me of the movie American Pie.
And you know what? You can cuddle up and get scared together. The relationship between sex and horror has been the subject of countless articles, books, and television programs. So getting scared can get as hot, as Caroline and I went over quite a bit. And as one television documentary producer put it, when you come right down to it, what terrifies us more than our sexuality? I think I have to agree. So rent a scary movie, tell each other scary stories, whether they're sexual or otherwise, and give your lover comfort all night long, right?
I think that sounds very, very lovely.
So after the break, we are going to be talking about choosing a sexual fantasy role that feels right. And I think that's really important because I certainly am not very good at getting into it. So I was really looking for information on that because, you know, some people like to do it and I'm not into doing it. So I thought, well, how can I actually embody this? How can I get behind it? So I got some information on that. We have a very funny story to tell you, which could easily happen to you or your partner, so you better be careful.
And a little bit about the paganness.
And the pagan Day of the Dead.
And we'll
coming
be right
up
back.
After. Oh, sorry. That was me. I dropped the ball. Yes, keep that dial locked. You are listening to Screams, Dreams, and Sex Fiends on Juicebox. And we welcome your calls. So please call us at 604-822-2487, UBCCI. And
right
we'll be right back.
God's sake, keep a grip on yourself, Janet.
But it seems so unhealthy here.
It's just a party, Janet.
Well, I want to go.
Well, we can't go anywhere till I get to a phone.
Well, Vanessa Butler or someone.
Just a moment, Janet. We don't want to interfere with their celebrations.
This isn't the Junior Chamber of Commerce, Brad.
They're probably foreigners with ways different than our own. They may do some more folk dancing.
Look, I'm cold, I'm wet, and I'm just plain scared.
I'm here. There's nothing to worry about.
How do you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little broad guy, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme, maybe play you a sign. You look black, you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car.
Pleasure to meet you, Dr. Burton.
We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat. Well, how about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic.
I'm just a sweet transvestite. From transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? Or maybe a bite? I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So,
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Zipcar gets it. You live your life 4 months at a time. Commitment freaks you out. Your most expensive asset is your laptop, and even that's portable. Why own a car when you can have a Mini for cruising with friends, a roomy Yaris for moving your affordable Swedish furniture into your dorm room, and a Ford Escape for when you take a break from homework to hit the North Shore slopes?
UBC students get a sweet discount on Zipcar membership, $30 for the year. You can reserve by the hour or day, and gas, insurance, and 150 kilometers per day are always included. Your first step is to put down that slice of pizza and sign up at zipcar.com/UBC. After that, just head to one of the locations on campus to pick up your car, and the rest is up to you.
Juicebox is sexuality. Very blah, 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 blah. And we are back in the box. And that was a little bit of sweet transvestite from Transsexual Transylvania, which if you don't know what that is, you should go rent the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because I'm not sure where it's playing this time. Do you know, Jules?
I don't. It's been so many years. It's something I did when I was 14, which is only about 10 years ago, so...
Exactly. Although I know they have played it recently at that the Rio, because a friend of mine who had never seen it before, actually.
Oh, so fun.
But I do remember
bring an umbrella.
Kids. Yes, and some toast, because I don't think you're allowed to throw rice anymore. Anyway, if you're just joining us, we are talking about screams, dreams,
and sex fiends. All about Halloween, which is definitely the sexiest holiday of the year. So we decided to do a special edition just for you for Friday.
I think every day is a holiday and every day is the sexiest day of the year.
Well,
but Halloween gives most people time to play.
I think that this story is a good way to start the second half of the hour.
I think we should share.
A couple was invited to a swanky masked Halloween party. She got a terrible headache and told her husband to go to the party alone. He, being a devoted husband, protested, but she argued and said she was going to take some aspirin and go to bed, and there was no need of his good time being spoiled by not going. So he took his costume and away he went.
The wife, after sleeping soundly for an hour, awakened without pain, and as it was still early, she decided to go to the party. Inasmuch as her husband did not know what her costume was going to be, she thought she would have some fun by watching her husband to see how he acted when she was not with him. She joined the party and soon spotted her husband dancing on the dance floor, dancing with every nice chick he could find and copping a little feel here and a kiss there.
Well, she decided, being a seductive babe herself, that she would go right up to him. And he left his current little squeeze high and dry and devoted his time to the new stuff that had just arrived. So she let him go as far as he wished, naturally, since he was her husband. Finally, he whispered a little proposition in her ear, and she agreed. So off they went to one of the cars, masks on, and had a little bang.
Just before the unmasking at midnight, like Cinderella, she slipped away. and went home and put the costume away and got into bed, wondering what kind of explanation he'd give for his behavior.
She was sitting up reading when he came in and asked what kind of a time he'd had. He said, "Oh, the same old thing. You know, I never have a good time when you're not there."
She smirked, and then she asked, "Did you dance much?"
And he replied, "I'll tell you, I never even danced one dance. When I got there, I met Pete, my buddy Bill, and some other guys, and so we went into the den and played poker all evening. But I'll tell you, the guy that I loaned my costume to, he looked like he sure had a real good time." "And I think it could happen to you."
I think that's how lock and key parties perhaps started, because you didn't know who the heck you were having sex with.
I find that almost a little bit creepy about these, like, parties you go to where you just keep your mask on all night. I went to a couple of those parties where I knew about 20 people at the party, but you don't have a clue who anybody is. You have to sort of know gait and smell and quite intimate details about a person to really get who they are without seeing their face. And you're not speaking, otherwise people would get that as well. So there's no speaking, just gestures and nonverbal communication and dancing and just like whatever, smelling each other. And it was really creepy. I felt like really like I just couldn't feel comfortable. Now, maybe because the scenario that I've read, that we read just now, has happened to me.
Really? That you slept with somebody that you thought was a partner?
Yeah. Well, we got to the point where I was giving him oral sex when I realized it was not the cock I was expecting. So
I was just about to ask that because, I mean, they might have pubes or no pubes.
Yes. The size is different. The shape, the circumcision, smell, everything.
Whether or not there's pre-cum.
That's a good point. The drippy ones are easy to find out or not. If they're not drippy, then...
Well, if you can tell the taste, yes, definitely.
I like the drippy kind. Anyway, not the ones that have gonorrhea either. I'm not talking about that kind of drip.
I was just going to ask.
Not the green, stinky drip. I'm talking about the clear stuff that's slippery and tastes like salt. It's very good. Mm. Yum, yum. Anyway,
and on
okay.
On that note, if you want somebody to suck you off more, have lots of fruit juice. Apparently that's supposed to work.
That would kind of be acidically burning the skin, but anyway, not too much, people.
No, I said for swallowing, not for
moderation. Or there's this, anyway, let's not get into this. Another topic about jism. Okay, so we're choosing
jism. On that note, let's get back to the Day of the Dead.
You could just use some cum and dry it on your cheek, and then it could look like it was a scar.
You actually, it's really good for your skin, actually, if you actually, they're back in the 60s. It's true.
No, we're not talking about jism. This is not a jism start.
But if you want to have good skin, you could actually, they'd actually ejaculate into a jar and put it on their face.
Honey.
According to a Jacqueline Suzanne book.
Okay, great. Well, you know what? You're talking to a sex educator who studied this stuff for 10 years, and I'll tell you something. The studies out there that have actually been done... actually will make your skin dry and flake, and there's like chlorine and other kinds of skin damaging properties in, as well as the sugars and everything else that are in cum, ejaculate. So it actually will burn your skin and give it peeling and cracking. So it's not necessarily...
We should leave it in the pulp novels, but it is highly engaging and highly entertaining, and I've had more than one guy try and use that excuse on me for wanting to come in the
face. It was good for your skin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
But on that note, let's talk about Halloween and the things that scare us. Let's talk about the Day of the Dead.
Oh, I thought we were talking about sexual fantasy roles that feel right, I think.
Oh, actually, I think that would be really lovely.
Because picking a sexual fantasy role that clicks with you is really a key to a good sex fantasy role play. Because people tend to, like, think, oh, I'll just do the cliche, and it has no meaning. So it makes it difficult for a person to get into character, to kind of get aroused, to get into it. So really, transforming yourself into a cowboy or a candy striper only happens when you actually buy into the fantasy yourself. I mean, obviously, costume pieces help as well. But start by doing some homework. I mean, I looked through this stuff because I have trouble really kind of embodying the sex role play. I'm not really into it. The psychological archetypes was the part that really I connected with, around taking a person deeper into the fantasy, is able to, like, not being specific people, but taking on the role of, like, the bully or, like, the angel or a god of some kind or a servant. I think that can leave lots of imagination for filling in the blanks and not necessarily having to be a certain way or what that other person thinks you should be, right? If you're doing a rock star, a celebrity, or everyday hero, you're going to have to be, like, you know, doing what's kind of expected of that personality, right? So
which sometimes that may not be a bad thing necessarily, because if you're really, really shy and you're pretending to be Marilyn Monroe, for example, that might bring out a certain quality in you that you it allows you to be that because you're actually saying you're Marilyn. It's kind of like that whole thing if you're thinking, you know, in terms of people who say, oh, I can do that if I'm drunk, because it gives them permission to be somebody who they're not. But in reality, they're actually just releasing part of themselves that they didn't know was possible.
Or so if you're a good actor like you are, honey. Some people just aren't good actors. They might be able to do one or two sentences, but embodying it for the whole time and being able to have sex doing it, I think it might be challenging for people that aren't good actors like you.
Well, it's just more taking those characteristics on that feel good, so it gives yourself permission. Other things you could do, though, is, maybe pretend that you're Little Red Riding Hood, looking at hiding from the big bad wolf, or one of the three blind mice. Just these stories, these comics and stories that kind of stay with you from when you're a little kid. And kind
Superman, Spider-Man, all very sexy. The ability to make those into sexual role types, I think, or the sexual role plays are probably pretty hot. I think it could work. But it has to work for you. It has to feel right. You have to actually, like, sexualize these things, right? I mean, if you want to be the Good Samaritan or, like, the everyday hero, like the plumber, you got to have the plumber bum to do it right. I mean, if that's what you're going to do. So important to take it on, to embody it.
More women being the plumber bum these days with those low-ride jeans. Thank goodness the high waist is coming back in style.
Well, I kind of like the low ride because it makes my ass look smaller. But anyway, you're right. It does make it difficult when you sit down.
It's the muffin top.
The muffin top. So don't be a speciesist with your sexual fantasy roles either. I mean, you can play not a person at all. You could be an alien. I think that's pretty hot. I've seen some hot alien porn out there. You could be a pony. You could be an inanimate object like a corpse. That one's also kind of popular. It's one of the rape fantasies around, like, being someone who's dead or half dead or like sound asleep or whatever, passed out. It seems to be a kind of popular sexual play.
I think that could be really interesting, especially if you believe in aliens, like if you're a Raelian or something.
Raelian, yes. So what is this Halloween all about? I mean, it's the Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. It's a Celtic celebration, for example. In ancient times, it's Samhain, it's Samhain. I think there's a lot of ways to pronounce it. It's written or spelled Samhain. Most people pronounce it that way, but it's actually Samhain or Samhain. So I think we're going to go neo-pagan style, which is this day and age, and call it Samhain.
Sure.
Yeah? So really, the Day of the Dead is November 1st, or somewhere between the 5th and the 7th was really around the fall equinox, and that was kind of in ancient times. It formed the dividing day between the years, and it's like the coldest time of the year. It was like the seasonal beginning of, or the end of the year, beginning of the next year, and the beginning of the cold season. So there's lots of bonfires, and it's sort of not neither this year or the next yet. It's kind of the veils are the thinnest. They saw it as a dividing day between years in ancient times. So the corresponding seasonal event was Beltane. I don't know if anyone knows about that, but that signals the start of summer, and it's exactly 6 months later, and these are both very much fire festivals. So, again, Samhain is very much about fire and the between basically the solstices and the equinoxes. So the winter solstice is Samhain probably would have been centered between the fall equinox and the winter solstice, which is November 5th or November 7th. And I think that they said something about how it was changed back. The pagans moved it about a week to October 31st just to confuse people with the Gregorian calendar coming in and making everything mixed up back in the day, back way back in the day. So anyway, so yeah, it's basically it's Samhain is in ancient days.
Well, it's a veil between the world and where it was a veil between this world and the next, when that was at the very thinnest, which I know you've mentioned that already, where the Celts believed upon death that everyone went to a beautiful place that was free of hunger, pain, and disease. And it was translated into something called Summerland, which I'm not sure about the actual pronunciation in terms
Tir-nan-og.
Of
Tir-nan-og. Who knows?
Tir-nan-og. They really had no concept of heaven and hell like there is in Christianity, but they really believed that there was two separate and nearly identical worlds that existed. When a person died, they are transferred into the ghost world. When they are born, they're transferred from the ghost world into the mortal one. And the pagans used the idea that the crucial joints between the seasons opened cracks in the fabric of space-time, allowing contact between the ghost world and the mortal world. And the Celts celebrated rituals at this time to make contact with their ancestors who had died before them. And this contact wasn't a really bad thing. It wasn't made in the atmosphere of dread, fearing some retribution from the dead, like some scary horror movie that we watch. It was rather done in a spirit of expectation, in a hope of obtaining guidance from those in the next world. The spirits of the dead friends sought warmth of the fire and the communion with their living.
Right.
So I really like that. I thought that was really cool.
And there's some amazing pagan style or ancient Celtic kind of rituals that are happening in the cemeteries in Vancouver every night this past week and up until November 2nd. You can go and check them out at the different cemeteries probably in your town. You could even make your own ritual. But I've just heard in Vancouver that there's quite a few of them going on at the largest cemetery we have, which is like 41st and Fraser. It's one of the corners anyway that the cemetery goes for six city blocks. So
my mother's ashes are there.
Right, so you maybe don't want to go. But, you know, it's a time, I think, you know, as much as Halloween's the sexiest holiday of the year, it is really about celebrating the dead, and that's what even the neo-pagans are doing with Samhain in modern times, and that's that they believed to have been moved the Samhain back about a week to October 31st after the arrival of the Gregorian calendar, which is what we use now. And it's basically modern-day Wiccans and Druids that have attempted to reconstruct as accurately as possible these Celtic beliefs, these rituals, these other practices. And honestly, there's lots of ways to do that. I think the Parade of the Lost Souls in Vancouver is one of the biggest things that we do in Vancouver, and it's really cool. It's a celebration, really. And I think, you know, decorating your altars, there's all kinds of cool things you can do if you really want to look into pagan, neo-pagan, and Celtic and other. I think the Mayans are really big at celebrating Day of the Dead, which is November 1st. And all that stuff. I mean, honestly, purify yourself in some way. Take a bath. Masturbate in the bath. Make sure that you're all cleansed. Your chakras are all aligned. And creating that sacred circle, you know, like all the things that you can look up on the internet probably and find out all kinds of really great tips to set your stage and light the right candles and the right directions and the things to say. And, I mean, mm-hmm. It depends on how you want to celebrate your demonic power coming.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be demonic powers. A few weeks ago, I know you are, we had Monica on talking about the birthing rituals in terms of belly dance, where they use the sacred circles in that. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, that is very similar to the Wiccan or the Druids, where they basically helped bring the baby in the world, where the baby would be born in that middle of that circle, because they'd be digging that hole. And the woman, when she was ready, while everybody mm-hmm. was dancing around her doing that. It's a very similar type of thing where it's rejoicing and bringing that baby from the ghost world into our world.
Right, yeah. And I think also, you know, for a lot of people, that's what Tantra is all about as well. I mean, in the religion, in the practice that is Tantra, it's very much about ritual and setting the stage and lighting the candles and bringing in the different energies that are around us all the time. Same thing, I think, in Samhain, you know, October 31st, November 1st, the veils are thin. That is really the belief from ancient times to current day times. So if you're wanting to commune with the dead or wanting to appreciate them or just celebrate their existence here, or maybe just feel a little bit closer to loved ones that you've lost, now is the time, as the veils between the worlds are at the thinnest. So, yes.
It's a good time to definitely do it. Although
definitely do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Because it is a sex show. But not just in terms of honoring the dead and actually having your rituals. A lot of times Wiccans actually won't do it actually on the 31st. They'll do it a day or so before or after, because they don't want to be interrupted by the trick-or-treaters.
Yes. Maybe Friday night is not the greatest night.
Even Sin City actually is going to be on November 1st, which that's a ritual in itself. It's actually sold out already.
Yes, I could imagine Sin City would be sold out already mm-hmm. for that. It's, again, the sexiest holiday of the year. I think everyone gets to cross-dress and or be in costume and or role-play in public. If there's any time of the year to do it, it's now. So
definitely.
Get creative, go deep, embody it, really play and have fun, and you might find yourself highly aroused and having a really sexually good time and sensually good time. And hey, you might actually learn something about your sexuality in the process this year, not just dressing up as a gooey eyeball walking down the street fondling young girls. So any circles that you may open, by the way, just a word of warning, make sure that you do close them yes. or ground them or banish the circle at the end. Very important. Even if you're sort of doing it for the first time and you don't really sense the energies, they're definitely there. And so you want to make sure that you close or ground the circle just as you opened it. So, all right. And is there anything else out of the broom closet tonight?
I think one of the important things in terms of sex, and especially at Halloween, is if you are going to go indulge in zombie sex and you plan to have sex in somebody's grave or something like that, or give a blowjob to somebody in the graveyard, make sure that you don't have a bunch of Wiccans around who are trying to honor the dead and you're not interrupting somebody else's celebration, even though you're celebrating in your own way. And Julia's covering her face right now going, I can't believe you just said that on air, Caroline.
Awesome.
But it's true.
It's very true. There's some very irresponsible sexual players out there, and they may do something that's... just not so nice for the society around them. So be ethical.
Very ethical. Bring your wet wipes so if you end up spunking all over somebody's grave that you actually clean it up afterwards so they don't come back and haunt you.
This is a professional sex ed show. I just want you to know that if you spunk on a grave, you might wipe it up so that they don't come back and haunt you. Very good words of warning. All fun all the time here. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Caroline and I, we missed each other last week. I thought last week's show was really fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
I was listening to it. I had the joy of listening. I tuned in about 10 past, and I was crawling into bed, very much needing sleep. I was on an intensive last week for 8 days solid. It was pretty awesome. And I managed to just get home in time to catch the show, and I thought it made really good radio. So anyone listening, tune into last week's show. We had Sherison, who was that?
Sherison Kaiser.
Fabulous.
Going from male to female.
Fabulous guest. She was very earnest about her process, and she talked around your questions very... she was hard to nail down. I think you offered up a lot of grace and a lot of presence and a lot of patience, my friend, and I was very impressed. But I also thought that Sherison was very entertaining, and you just didn't know what to expect out of her mouth next. She really went all over the place, and it made for really good radio. It was really fun to listen to. So if you're looking for some entertainment, definitely last week's show had it, and we hope next week we have a good one as well.
That would be wonderful.
Are you going to a Sin City or any kind of sex show this coming weekend?
I'm actually playing it pretty mellow so far.
Me too. I'm going to be a good girl.
I may have to go to the midnight showing, though, for Halloween.
I might dress up in, like, basically next to nothing, like, just wear a fishnet and, like, nothing else, be naked, and, like, wear a mask on my head so nobody knows who I am, and just, like, go to something and just, like, be a freak. I would do that.
So you might be a flasher, in other words.
I might be a flasher through a fishnet flasher.
A fishnet flasher.
With the head thing so no one recognizes me. Although some people will because they've seen me naked so many times. They'll be like, those breasts, I know those breasts.
They might not these days.
Right.
Because you got that new bra that just looks so perky.
The new bra that you bought me, right. It does do wonders, even when I take the cutlets out.
I love the cutlets, though. Those water bras, which actually, gentlemen, if you are wearing a bra for Halloween, you might want to check out the La Senza bras because they actually have these great water gel things in them.
So they give some weight and some movement that acts like real breasts. And so when you rub up against people or they elbow you, which often happens at parties.
You can freak them out.
They'll be like, oh, that felt like a real boob. So, yeah. You always know when you hit a tit, don't you? Like with your arm or shoulder, like elbow. I always can tell there's a certain texture of the breast. The other day I was walking by this man. I went to hug him and I brushed his whole genital area. Like I basically almost grabbed his crotch by accident. I was just going to hug him and I brushed by and I was like, I just touched your nutsack. I'm so sorry.
Did you actually call it?
Yes, I nodded a nut sack. And he was like really embarrassed. Anyway, so yes, we always know when we do this frotterage, it's called the frotteraging, which is the rubbing by people on their sexual parts, their private parts.
So if anybody has some sexy Halloween stories you'd care to share,
please share them with us.
Please share them with us. We may have some prizes for you if you write in at Julia at Juicebox Radio or Caroline at JuiceboxRadio.com.
Yes. So we feel kind of lonely sometimes. Sometimes we get lots of emails and we feel very loved, and other times we don't get any. And we feel like, did anyone listen to that show? Was it just shit? Did anyone like it? So do write to us and or call because we're listening. And thank you for your listening pleasures that you gave us tonight. I'm rusty. It's been a few weeks.
I like it when we're rusty.
Oh, Marion's coming up next. Hans von Klaus Misery Hour.
He's a very sexy man to be miserable with.
Yes. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com.